The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Pregnant ladies and little kids better get the hell out of the way because I am running. I'm like Forrest Gump, dude. I am running. So the Titanic was the biggest ship on the ocean, but that didn't mean it was unsinkable. All right.
I want you each to use ombudsman in a sentence next week.
I got one for you. My name is Kevin, the official ombudsman of the Just Press Play podcast. You like apples?
Welcome into another edition of the Just Press Play podcast. And as Prestige Worldwide said right before we started, nothing has changed. The Kansas City Chiefs are still the champion. We got Prestige, LJ, Uncle Tony here. What's going on, guys?
What's up?
What's going on?
Was there, LJ, I'll start with you just real quick. Was there any doubt in your mind after the 49ers kicked a field goal in that overtime? And they kicked the ball back off to the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. Like, it just felt like the collective viewing audience is like, oh. It, whether you know, you're rooting for it or not, you're like, he's about to go down there and score a touchdown. That's what he's going to do.
I did believe in the 49ers, and it's because I read the same rule book that they'd read. I was pretty sure once time expired, they were screwed. And so I thought, I mean, it turned out they got it before the clock expired anyway. But I totally misread the rules, and I thought the Niners were going to win it on time, and that certainly did not happen. Damn it, Patty.
Well, so there's a lot to discuss, but I think the first we'll have plenty of time to read off stupid stats that'll make LJ mad about Patrick Mahomes and how awesome he is. But first, Tony, the overtime there. I feel like the overwhelming conversation coming out of the Super Bowl is, did the 49ers screw things up? Basically, the Super Bowl rules are different than the other rules.
Well, I think the playoff rules, right? But we didn't have an overtime in all of the playoffs.
Okay. And so when the 49ers, typically getting the ball first is the obvious thing, because if you get the ball first, go down and score a touchdown, you win the game. It's over. But they changed the rule to where no matter what, the other team at least gets the ball. So, Tony, it felt like the 49ers were maybe not all aware that was the rule, and it felt like the Chiefs were all very aware. First, yeah, LJ, what you got to say?
Well, I want to add that's not exactly what the – I think everybody knew that the – no matter what the Niners did, whether it's touchdown or not, the Chiefs would get the ball. I think the question is whether or not we expected that their first possession would be able to finish, matter what.
There is a mic'd up of Kyle Juszczyk, who admittedly said after the game, like, I was not aware of those rules. And there's a mic'd up where, like, they win the toss and they're kind of getting ready to go back on field. And he goes, like, they catch him going, bro, did you know if we score a touchdown, they still get the ball?
Okay, so
and that was before the coin toss, or that's after the coin toss. Like, they realize, oh, I did not realize that was a thing. And then there's clips of basically all the Chris Jones even saying they were talking about it in training camp. They did like classes where they're like, if this situation comes up. So Tony, tell me your thoughts on that. Was that a colossal screw up? Is it just, we always find something to nitpick? Like, what do you think about the overtime decisions by both teams?
No,
the coaching decisions.
Yeah, no. Well, there was a lot going on in the, overtime coaching decision wise that I thought were good and bad, but I didn't necessarily think that the 49ers taking the ball first had anything to do with anything but them wanting to go blitz a really tired defense. Yeah. And in overtime, if they take the ball, they're giving their defense another 5 or 10 minutes to rest. And I thought when they took the ball, they thought, okay, we're going to go score, and then we're going to force them to try to score a touchdown to beat us. And I think that's what they were thinking, is that, look, our defense is fresher than their defense is, and that's now right or wrong. And as it turned out, they were wrong. But when they chose to take the ball, that's what I thought they were doing.
Obviously, we can go 20-20. It's a bad decision about how things played out. But do you think that was the correct decision, Tony? Because I think I know where Prestige is going because I see some of his head nods and head shakes.
Absolutely not. No, if it were me, I would say, you know, hell, we're in the last game of the season and another quarter. It doesn't matter how tired these guys are. They're going to play. And so, no, I would not have. I would have deferred.
LJ, were you about to jump in there?
Yeah, no, I'm going to 100% agree with that. I was trying to make sure that we were asking the question that we all were asking. But I 1,000% agree with that. I think the idea is that the Niners had decisions to make on fourth down. The Chiefs, they were going for it on fourth down. I mean, there were no options. So you go from having three downs to get a first down every 10 yards or having four downs to get a first down every 10 yards. And so the advantage is always to defer. So I'm going to hard agree with Tony on that.
Jacob, it looks like you're saying the same.
Yeah, it's funny because I've listened to all the mic'd up sessions now and all the stuff. And it's almost like they screwed up and then they're telling everybody, oh, it was to rest or like, it was that like, oh, they caught me like making a mistake. So I'm just going to make up this excuse of we were wanting to rest our defense. It's a good excuse if you have to find something.
Well, and I will say, but our homie Romo did like that was immediately he said like that's what we're doing is we're trying to take the dagger as quickly as possible.
Yeah,
but they didn't get the dagger. They got a little butter knife.
Yeah, but to LJ's point, I 100% agree. It's better to defer because then you know 100% what you have to do. And if you have to go score, you know you have to go for it on fourth down. And it's not even a difference on your fourth down play. It's a difference on your second down play and your third down
and
play.
Third down,
knowing you have that extra down that you have.
Knowing you're in four down territory.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think deferring is 100% what you should do in that situation.
Well, it's just like college football. I mean, I know they're slightly different, but both teams get a chance. You'd rather be second to know, do I need a field goal? Do I need a touchdown? And like there was that fourth and one, which it was fourth and one. So the Chiefs might've gone for it regardless, but it's fourth and one midfield-ish out of field goal range. And they may have punted that if that would have been the first drive. But since they knew we have to score, they went for it. So now you got the best quarterback on the planet with four downs to kill you instead of three. And that's where you lose it. And then it feels, and I think this is where, well, let's we'll get to the decisions made poster bowl with maybe a defensive coordinator being scapegoated there by the younger Shanahan. But the other turning point, I think, in the game, Tony, a little earlier, at least one I wanted to touch on, just because I know we were all watching this guy because he's an Arkansas alum with Dre Greenlaw. One, just the way he's hurt, running onto the field, like not even a football play.
Yeah.
But then, two, I have to go pull it back up, but it felt like in the first quarter, Dre Greenlaw was having a good first quarter. Like, I was like, man, he's in on every single tackle. This guy, and of course, like I just said, I'm watching him a little closer because I'm invested in Dre Greenlaw. But then there was a stat on basically the target, his replacement and what the targets were. I'm trying to go find it. Okay. Once Greenlaw went down, Oren Burks filled in for him. And while he was in, there were 9 targets, 9 catches allowed, 1 touchdown, 134.7 passer rating when targeted. So, I mean, he was just, they were like, oh, Greenlaw's out. We're about to cook the backup.
I'll say, too, that's the thing about Mahomes, right, is that this man is calm, cool, and collected and can see the whole field. And then he has the assets with his legs to change the field when he wants it to. So you have a major injury like that, he can take advantage. And that's what the fourth quarter and overtime were. I mean, that was Patrick Mahomes doing
LJ does. That first half was your kind of football game. This thing was clunky. It was defensive. It was ugly. No points.
Field goals. Let's go, baby. Like, it's field position football. But you give Patrick Mahomes enough time, he is going to find the weak link. And the weak link was made pretty obvious because it's Dre Greenlaw is great. He's a great football player. He's aggressive. He's a little crazy. But he's a great football player. And so it's a big deal to lose.
Tony, I heard LJ just mentioned the field goals. Did someone tell us there might be a lot of field goals in this game? I mean, we get stuff wrong, but when someone's right, I'd like to, you know, give a pat on the back.
I liked that. That was good. That was good for me in my pocketbook. And, that was a good deal. I'll say this about the first half, we'll talk about what happened a couple of days after this game with Steve Wilks, but I have yet to
see. If you want to get into it, we can get into it.
Not yet, because I'm going to make this is the statement I think that really makes you go, on that. for the first half, I've never seen Patrick Mahomes more hesitant than I saw him in this game.
Agreed.
He could not read the defense.
Chase Young in that front four was playing like the front four we thought they were. They were getting pressure on him with
it's
four.
Because but if you watch, Mahomes was pulling the ball back. He knows exactly where people are going to be and when they're going to be there. And that's why he's very rarely sacked, is because he gets rid of the ball to make sure it doesn't happen. But San Francisco ran a phenomenal scheme in the first half. And at least in this defensive secondary, they had Patrick Mahomes confused and hesitating. That has never happened in the playoffs. And so it was a great job. In the second half, whether it was Greenlaw or not, they've got another guy named Fred Warner who's pretty damn good. Yep. And just because Dre Greenlaw goes out, I'm not going to say that was the reason. I think Mahomes, given the halftime and a 30-minute halftime, because Usher was moving around on the field, I think that they had time to figure out, okay, what are they doing? Let's look at the film. Let's break this down. And they finally figured out how to get Kelce loose underneath, and I think that, and then they got the deep pass, and so I think that was the difference to me. But the first half, phenomenal defensive strategy by the 49ers.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, and Jacob will know this as well as anybody, but that's kind of what Mahomes does. Like, it's going to be hard to trick a guy that good and that smart for a full four quarters. He'll start to figure it out. I mean, that's why I don't remember what there's been like. I can't remember the exact stat. I think it's like 5 10-point comebacks in the Super Bowl. Mahomes and the Chiefs have come back from 10 or more in all three Super Bowls that they have. Because I think you can trick Mahomes, but it's hard to keep tricking him. It's the same way it was hard to keep tricking Tom Brady. It's these guys are going to figure you out. They process fast. Same. I think Andy Reid's part of that too. I mean, what did you think about, Jacob, about their figuring things out in the second? Not from the start of the second half, because Mahomes threw one of the worst interceptions I've seen him throw to start the second half.
Yeah, no, I think this game definitely came down to what I thought it honestly would, which would be coaching and adjustments. The 49ers were clearly dominating, I think, at the line of scrimmage for the first half of the game. And then you gave them a 30-minute halftime, and one team came out a little more prepared than the other. And then overtime, they were just a little more prepared than the other. I think it came down to coaching. Andy Reid and them schemed up something great for Patrick Mahomes, getting Travis Kelce loose, like you said. I think they made the right adjustments.
I mean, it took violence to get him there. You know, he had to.
I mean, he chose violence. And he, so.
Well, and so you're talking about coaching, and let's give a tip of the cap to Spagnuolo, who the Chiefs smartly extended that guy for he basically should have a lifetime contract until he's ready to call it.
And I
want to
throw out, I saw a stat that they had played just straight man up like some 70% of that game, which is the most that a Spags Chiefs team has ever played.
Yeah.
And they came out with a different defense than the 49ers were expecting, and it threw them for a loop. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
It was mentioned.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'll just say that the man coverage too, that 70% is actually like the opposite of the NFL, where I think the NFL runs 70% zone coverage most teams, which I believe the 49ers did a lot of in this game, which is what was tricking Mahomes, I think, because they were getting pressure with just four. So he's like, oh, crap, there's seven dudes out there that I have to account for. Mm-hmm. And they just couldn't answer for it in the first half. But I think defensive line was getting pressure in the second half for the Chiefs. Karlofkas, I think, is going to be a great defensive end for his time, for where he was drafted as well, first round pick. So I'm very impressed with the Chiefs' defense in that secondary.
Well, I'd say too that you would expect
those numbers, LJ.
Go ahead.
Those numbers are the Chiefs played man on 60% of dropbacks in the Super Bowl. That's the highest rate by any Chiefs Spags team. Previous high was 52% against the Broncos in 2020. They've only had four games in total over 50%. So they basically threw a changeup. And I saw someone saying Spags was the only one that had the balls to do this. Part of that's true, I think. Part of it's also L'Jarius Sneed and McDuffie, too. McDuffie was so good. They were one, they got challenged on the outside, and they accepted the challenge and were successful throughout the game, though.
Well, and you got to think, too, that playing man versus playing zone is going to be more physically intensive, because you got to run wherever your boy's going, no matter what he's doing. Whereas the zone, it's like, you know, I'm covering this portion of the field. And so, that even plays, too, why the 49ers thought the Chiefs defense was absolutely exhausted. But they weren't. they came in and messed up the mind state of the 49ers backfield, the 49ers coaching, and it showed. I mean, I'm not going to say the Chiefs as a team won that Super Bowl, but Spags has a huge part in it, and deserves whatever he gets next.
100%.
And then the first play after the two-minute warning in the fourth quarter, so it's 16-16, the 49ers are driving, and they're looking like they're either going to get a field goal or a touchdown, but it's third and four. If they get a first down there, they basically can run out most of the clock and get a field goal and win this thing. And then Spags switches it up, and McDuffie comes on a perfectly timed blitz, and they throw an incomplete pass. So not only it's incomplete, so it stops the clock, and they kick a field goal, and now you got Patrick Mahomes has 2 minutes to go get a field goal. Spags was great. That defense also, though, stepped up big. And even Chris Jones, I mean, that dude might not be four quarters. Like at one point, at Aaron Donald's best, he was just wrecking the game for four quarters. Chris Jones might not always he's good all four quarters. But when fourth quarter shows up, it seems like every game there's a play where you're like, there's him making that play you need him to make.
Yeah, I agree. And shout out real quick to Tyreek Hill and the Miami Dolphins for all those draft picks. Trent McDuffie, Rashee Rice, Sky Moore. Thank you very much.
Sky Moore? You're thinking him for Sky Moore?
He's on the team. He's on the team.
He made the cut.
He is. Kadarius Toney's on the team as well. So I guess, yeah, let's.
Well, he didn't come from that trade, but I'm just saying. I'll take McDuffie and Rashee Rice came. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
There you go.
So that draft was really good. They had a really good draft where they did Carl Loftus and McDuffie. But the fact that Sky Moore is a second rounder on there, you're like, boy, if you'd have got a good second rounder, that draft would be historic draft.
Yeah.
Two things I wanted to say, and Jacob called this out last week on the pre-Super Bowl prior podcast, is that, you know, the Chiefs played a bend-don't-break defense, and we thought, yeah, they're going to have their way in the middle of the field, but it's going to be tough for them to score touchdowns. And that was never more true than this game. I mean, they really nailed that. That's exactly the thought. And so the man stat is interesting because I'd say this. They made a decision to let Christian McCaffrey have his day. So when you play man defense like that in the secondary with five men deep, five men man-to-man, McCaffrey man-to-man is going to get 5-6 yards, right? He's going to get it. And then you get inside the 20 or get closer in, and that's when you can start to clamp down. And you don't have to play the backside. They're not running the deep routes, and your players are there up to the corners are up to make a defensive stop in the run. And that happened. McCaffrey had what, 100 and something yard total yards combined rushing.
He had 80 rushing and 80 receiving. So
160, I thought. Yeah. So that's what. So between the 20s, he did that, and I thought that was a brilliant strategy because they kept him from getting in the end zone. So that to me was the deal. And last thing, Kansas City didn't have the best defense. They had the most timely defense. And y'all called it. I mean, you couldn't play Madden 1,000 times and dial up that blitz with McDuffie. Caught them behind. That was such a phenomenal play. That took such guts to say, this is it. But every time they needed a 2 or 3 yard loss play, they got it. Every time they needed a broken pass, they got it. And that to me was what was amazing about that defense. The timing they had and the planning, it was just great. I've never seen a better game plan than that. But San Francisco has more talent on their defense, even without Greenlaw. But I think the Chiefs just.
What I want to say, can I add to that? That I feel like a thing that might have happened is that you see the Chiefs defense being a squad, a no name squad, whereas you see the 49ers defense being a lot of big names. And so you see things like Bosa breaking coverage and letting up a big fourth down play because he decided to go for the glory and chase Mahomes. I think you see a lot of things that the 49ers did in that game. As somebody going for personal glory, whereas you see the Chiefs working as a cohesive unit for five quarters. And so, I mean, and that's, again, shout out Spags, but it's also, you know, the probably, you know, 20 men that made up that defensive squad. It's really impressive, really impressive.
Yeah, because it almost tricked you with McCaffrey because he was just destroying the Chiefs, I felt like. Between the 20s, and then you look at his yards per carry, it was like 3.6, and it's because they just bottlenecked him as soon as he got down there. Last thing I'll say is also shout out to Juwan Jennings. I don't know how you could play a better game as a fourth string or whatever wide receiver he is to throw a touchdown and catch a touchdown in a Super Bowl. Pretty impressive.
Well, he's, so, yeah. He like was the second person to do that ever or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Nick Foles.
He was, I
Nick
think, Foles. On pace to maybe be Super Nick. Bowl MVP. I mean, he was.
And then shout out to any degenerates out there that bet he'd have the first touchdown pass.
Oh, my God.
Game.
Yeah. No, they made cash. And then the people that parlayed that with the non-quarterback passing touchdown, I mean, legendary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now Shanahan's blown three different games, I think. Let me pull up if I have. There was one of them wasn't as an offensive coordinator, so it wasn't a head coach for all three. But three
it was different iconic. Super Bowls where they're –
yeah, 28-3. Let's see if we got it. Teams to hold a double-digit lead in the Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan coach teams are 0-3. Every other team is 50-3. I'm not blaming Kyle Shanahan completely, but there is. I felt like that third quarter they kind of lost a little bit. They had a couple of different three and outs where they quit running the ball to Christian McCaffrey and taking, like you're saying, Tony, the defense was kind of saying, we'll let McCaffrey kind of get some chunks and drive on us, but we think we'll tighten up. Well, you keep doing that because you can keep getting threes, and all of a sudden they started throwing the ball a little more, and your best player is Christian McCaffrey. I don't know how he goes from – it was 19 first-half touches to three touches in the third quarter. What's going on there?
Yeah, and I'll be – so that's true, but I think in each one of these losses that Shanahan has had, is he didn't lose it in the second half. He lost it in the first half. And so here's what happened this week. It was 10-0. It should have been like 24-0 before they kicked that field. There was no reason for them not. They let off the gas. And he got 28 points with the Falcons, and he let off the gas. You've got to understand that you have got to take more chances. And I know you scored on that, you know, Jennings to McCaffrey in a trick play. But they were not aggressive. They didn't take chances in the first half when they had the Chiefs reeling. You held the Chiefs offense to 0 points for 27 minutes and only had 10 points. That loses the ball game. He's let off the gas at the wrong time. He should have been more aggressive in the first half, and that's what I think caused him to have problems in the second. And we saw that against Detroit. In the game before, he got back aggressive in the second half and came back and won it. But where was those aggressive plays in the first half? That's what I didn't understand.
I like Shanahan, think he's a good coach, and think he'll end up getting a Super Bowl. But that's another reason why I just felt like Steve Wilkes getting scapegoated as he's no longer the DC. And then a couple of the players said we weren't prepared for the option that Mahomes ran. Like Wilkes did a fairly good job. Like they held the Chiefs to 25, which I know 25 is not a small number, but I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. They only had two touchdowns as a team. Wilkes, I thought, did an okay job for 2.5 quarters, did a great job. And then he started to get rocky there in the fourth, but that was more Mahomes making incredible plays, I think, than Wilkes just getting out coached.
Yeah.
What's his name? Kyle Shanahan's the one that has all pros all over the field in Debo, Ayuk, George Kittle, McCaffrey. I mean, I don't know. I don't like that Wilkes was let go. It just felt like they're basically scapegoating him by letting him go a couple days after.
Honestly, if you score any points, actually, because it went into overtime, any points off the two turnovers, then we're not talking about his defense failing. We're talking about them being victors. But because they couldn't score off of a Patrick Mahomes interception, which does not happen in the playoffs. And a fumble or a fumble by Pacheco, they couldn't score off that, and yet here we are. So,
just nuts. This nuts. And so yeah, Jacob said it, and I'm waiting for IT to give us a stat that we didn't know about somewhere in here that explains why you would fire your defensive coordinator 3 days after you held the Patrick Mahomes, the GOAT. Let's just start. We'll have to start talking about that. To 3 points in the first half, it's like they got together and had a meeting, and said, "Okay, let's just think of somebody who don't you like? man, I don't like the Wilkes guy. Okay, let's make him the goat. It's like a
okay, that's the guy. Like a, okay,
it's like an episode of The Office. They all got together and said, "Well, who do we think we want to do?" Oh yeah. He'll think it's funny.
Do we want to do Brock Purdy? No, let's not. No, not him. Brock Purdy. Do we want to go Chase Young? No, let's go Wilkes.
The guy in four quarter, well, basically six quarters of football, if you count the five in the Super Bowl. And the last, of course, and the fourth quarter against the Detroit Lions basically took two of the best quarterbacks in the league and had them have one of their worst days. What's wrong with that?
Well, why okay. Would
you want it? All it right. Just, you it want, just
you
wasn't.
Want,
and,
you want
and,
I to like pop in?
Here's, yeah, he, but here's the thing. This is the thing that really made me mad about Shanahan. I thought he was a cool dude. You can tell the drinks started kicking. I thought he was a cool dude. But then he says, it just wasn't a good fit. Now, what a bullshit answer. It just wasn't a good fit. It just might have said, man, somebody had to go and it was him, man. Hey. We took Drew Straws, we did something. But don't say it just wasn't a good fit.
Prestige, I got a question for you. How many times did the Chiefs score 25 or more points this year?
Actually, not too
many. Four. Four is
the answer. Not too many, actually.
It's pretty. It's a pretty small number for a defense that is supposed to be the most talented defense. So, like, let's not pretend like that wasn't a poor performance to give up the fourth highest total of what the Chiefs did all year long.
Okay, well, it was also an extra quarter of football.
Yeah, we're talking about
seven
this, like,
of those in an extra quarter.
Okay, well, that's fair. No, that's fair. That's a good point.
Let's bump it down to 8-19 if you want.
Okay, but 19's not a lot better. I mean, they got a lot of games where they scored 19. They got a lot of games. They scored nine against the damn Broncos. So, like,
you're defending the move of firing Steve.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's not so obvious that, like, the defense absolutely crushed the greatest offense to ever run in the NFL. This is the most mediocre offense the Chiefs have ever put out, and they should have done better against them. They should have. They absolutely should have. So as every other team that played in this playoffs, it's
LJ, you want me to tell you why it's a terrible move? Good teams, they don't start pointing fingers after a loss. They don't instantly try to figure out who lost. They just say we lost. Teams like the Cowboys start pointing fingers and start figuring out who's the scapegoat. And let me tell you, that's a joke of a franchise. The Cowboys are a joke. You don't want to be like
you're
the Cowboys.
Wrong because the answer
but that's
is
exactly what you're.
Good teams win. Losing teams have to point fingers. That's the way it works.
Well, so I was going to start that, LJ, with. Well, you see how the Chiefs are. They're just all saying in Spags we trust. And I was like, well, that's easy to say when you win.
It's
a
really
lot easier
to say
after
this.
So that's why I took that take back. It was I know how
good teams are absolutely not going to be pointing the finger because they keep fucking winning. Teams that point the finger are like teams that lose. And what are you going to do? Like, somebody has got to take the axe for this. You can't just say, well, we'll do it again the same. We'll just run it again next year. We'll just run it. Same thing. You got to make a move. I don't think they made the right one. But, like, I can't blame them because if you look at who the Chiefs are this year, the part of the field that should have dominated is the defense. And they did okay. They did okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Tony, are you going to respond to that? Because go ahead.
Because allow me to retort. I'm fine with
you're
that.
You're allowed.
I'm fine with that, LJ. Fire him. But don't say it just wasn't a good fit. And this is why I think Shanahan may be in a little bit of trouble. Man up and say, you know, the defense wasn't what we wanted it to be. It didn't plays didn't make what we wanted to. We need to make a change. That's fine. That fits exactly what you said. The Kansas City Chiefs should not have been able to score 25 points. They should not have been an opportunity to win that ball game, and we failed on the defensive side. Detroit scored too many points against. We never should have been in that situation. They have to come back in the second half. This is not fine. But don't say it just wasn't a good fit. What that tells me is Shanahan is not he's not taking the authority. He's not being transparent about this, saying we've got to do better. Players hear that. Coaches hear that. Owners hear that. That to me is the first time I've heard that I've seen that little that maybe Shanahan is not one of the next great coaches. And that's what bothers me about it.
I think
just not a good fit.
I think that's silly because I think you're asking him to be a PR god as well as a good football coach. Like, I think
he just did. That's what I'm saying. I think just wasn't a good fit. Dude, tell us, just say it. Be Rex Ryan and say, asshole didn't do his job. He should have held him to 10 points. Do say something like that. I respect you. I get it. Just wasn't a good fit. Whatever, man.
Okay.
Whatever. I think you see it all the time with these superstar teams.
Whatever.
And this is why I think Shanahan is on the hot seat, because I don't think John Lynch is going to put up with this shit again.
I don't know if he's on the hot seat.
I would not shock. If you're gonna make this kind of change after the year that defense just had in the Super Bowl, then why wouldn't you make the change next year if they do it all over again? Now whose fault is it? If you're gonna set this precedent, which is what superstar teams do all the time.
I know you haven't been a part of a losing football team for about 5 years, but this is how it works, brother.
We see it across all major sports where there's a superstar team and they fail to make the big shot, or they fail to make the big hit, or they just come up short from winning it all. Who's the first person to go that first year they miss? Not usually the head coach. It's somebody else. The next year they fail, then it's the head coach. I would not shock me if Shanahan's not head coach.
30 points more often than the Chiefs have scored 30 points. What are you talking about? That's like historic defense. They're okay. They're good. But they are not as good as the names that are on.
That was the thing this whole year. This whole year the defense hasn't quite been as good.
They've given up more 30-point games than the Chiefs have had 30-point games.
Okay. Just wasn't a good fit, though.
Yeah, it wasn't a good fit. It absolutely wasn't a good fit. Do you disagree?
No, I do disagree. He didn't meet the objectives we had for the defense.
Okay. So it's a grammar problem.
We had for the defense.
I bet should run it through Grammarly
first.
So, Uncle Tony, you were talking about IT pulling up stats. I found a stat. IT wouldn't pull this one up because I don't think he would like how it goes. But Prestige will be a fan of this one. This is per Neil Payne. Since 2001, there have been 120 drives in the NFL postseason where it was at least the fourth quarter, there was under a minute left to play, and the team on offense trailed by 7 points or fewer at the start. So they're saying clutch drives, basically. Out of those 125 drives, only 40% of them saw the team on offense get the points they needed to tie or take the lead. Some quarterbacks are pretty good at this. Tom Brady went 5-for-11, 46%. Drew Brees went 3-for-6, 50%. Patrick Mahomes is 7-for-7. He's perfect on those do or die situations. LJ has muted his mic and taken off his video.
What's John Elway's numbers?
Sure they're really good.
This made me sad because he handed the trophy to Patrick Mahomes.
So that's perfect, LJ. That segues me. I knew I needed to also have a stat for you after that, so we could have a little fun. So let's make fun of the Raiders. So the Raiders in their brand new stadium get to host the Chiefs. So if they could pick any team to win the Super Bowl, that would, like, any team they would not want to win the Super Bowl, it'd probably be the Chiefs or Broncos. Okay, so at least it's not the Broncos. The Chiefs won it. But then John freaking Elway is the guy delivering the Lombardi to the Chiefs. I just feel like Raiders, if LJ was a Raiders fan, his head would have blown off.
As a Broncos fan, my head was not doing great, to be honest with you. I know when Elway said I would do this, he expected to be handing it to his coach's son and John Lynch. That's what he expected to be happening. Holy shit. And his wide receiver's brother, or son, I mean. That's what he wanted to have happen, is wanted that Bronco connection, but holy, that was hard to watch.
Well, let's keep giving stats that LJ would like. Most wins ever by a coach quarterback combo in Allegiant Stadium. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have 5. The next highest is Antonio Pierce and Aiden Collin at 4.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
That is just such a kick in the balls for that. Raiders fans.
I like that. I hope the Broncos can be number 2 on that list next year.
Do we have anything else from the Super Bowl besides, like, we can get into halftime shows and stuff, but like on the field stuff, is there anything else we missed that we wanted to touch on? I thought Brock Purdy overall played a decent game.
Brock Purdy is a good quarterback. I think Brock Purdy
is fine. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
He did a good job.
A couple of times he didn't have it didn't go off well was because the Chiefs either had a great call or made a great play. I thought overall he played solid. A couple of times you could see he got some balls batted, I think, because he's a little shorter. But, I mean, overall, I thought he played well enough to win.
Yeah.
Fun. You could argue Brock Purdy never walked off the field to play with his team losing. They were winning every time he walked off the field ended up losing, because that's what happens when you play. Josh Allen's like, yeah, that's what happens when you play Patrick fucking Mahomes.
Yeah. I did want to say this. I thought one of the best plays of the game, I really thought the Chiefs were in trouble at fourth and one at their first fourth down in the overtime. Fourth and one, they are not a very good short yardage team, and they had really committed to Isaiah Pacheco at short yards. And I thought, oh, San Francisco's going to dial it up. They're going to stop this dive play for them to run Mahomes around. That was, again, a really gutsy call to have from the shotgun, mm-hmm. no less, KJ Jefferson style, to run out and get that first down. I thought was a really gutsy call. At that point, I thought, oh, this game's over. I really thought that, nope. And then, lo and behold, there's 12 yards, Patrick Mahomes going around the end. Great play call. Great play call.
It's just so funny because LJ hated seeing the Patriots and Tom Brady winning all these Super Bowls. And then, like, the NFL gods are so mean because they were like, hey, look, we got rid of Tom Brady for you, but instead, we're going to give you this other guy and put him in your freaking division.
Well, that's what I've seen. Okay, so I've seen, this come up that, like, we've got a new Brady. And, like, the thing about Brady is
I think we got a new Michael Jordan.
We had Peyton Manning to, like, kind of tamper that. I mean, it was never in the playoffs, but at least you could, like, argue, like, he's not the best quarterback playing. I mean, you can when he's done. But for a time there, you could argue that there was another one up there. Right now, who is it? Who is the Peyton Manning to Patrick Mahomes?
It's Josh Allen.
Yeah, who's lost to him how many times? Joe Burrow, who's never been healthy.
He's beaten him in the playoffs.
Yeah, but he's never healthy. It is
Dak Prescott.
Oh, yeah. Sure. In your bra. Nobody that is on Mahomes' level right now, and it is, I don't know. I don't even know when this changes. I don't know. I don't see an end in sight.
Let's see. Let's see if CJ Stroud
becomes
the guy.
I want him to be. Right? That'd be great.
As you look at this, what's out there, CJ Stroud seems to me. Now there's some really good quarterbacks coming into the league next year. And it'll take him 3 or 4 years to get here. But a CJ Stroud in a couple of years could be the guy that is the Patrick Mahomes to Tom Brady, right? In that scenario, to say that, hey, I'm ready to take over the crown, Your Honor. I'm going to take
some. I hope someone does it fast.
And this guy right here, Jordan Love. Let's see what happens next year with him. He's got the potential to do
that.
He hadn't shown it
yet. Brakes a little on that. We're not comparing Jordan Love to Patrick Mahomes yet, are we?
No, I'm saying up and coming. Who can be his Peyton Manning to Patrick Mahomes? I don't think that's what I'm saying. But CJ Stroud, I think, gives you.
Could have been Jake Locker. You know, it could have been.
Could have been Jake Locker.
We touched on just the decision making in the overtime, but I think it's stupid. Maybe y'all would disagree. The NFL's dumb for having a different overtime rule for the playoffs and the regulars. I guess they're trying to do it because you don't want to have a bunch of overtimes and have guys get hurt in the season. But
they want
the fact that I watch way too much football every weekend. There's people in my life that could attest to this. They get annoyed by how much football I watch on the weekend. And I'm sitting there watching the Super Bowl and I'm going, wait, if they run out of time, the Chiefs going to run out of time and lose? Like, I did not know exactly what was going on. And so that tells me a lot of people didn't know. And I know Romo was trying to explain. Romo had a rough game at times calling this game, but he was decent at the end there. But I just don't like changing up the rules that much for the playoffs. I don't know. I just rather overtime rules be the same.
Obviously, the idea is we don't want an overtime game, a tied game, to go 6 hours in week 7.
Yes, and you get the Jets playing the Jets on their third string quarterback against whoever was playing quarterback for the Broncos this year.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you go to like 6 scoreless overtimes.
Yeah, so I don't want that. I guess and I so, get like, it. That's why there is a difference. Is they want these games to end as quickly as possible, but they also want you to feel like it was a fair game when it really matters.
So that rule is for the whole playoffs, not just the Super Bowl, correct. Right? That's for. But we just didn't have an overtime game until the Super Bowl. Okay. Because at one point I thought it was only the Super Bowl, and then someone at work corrected me. Like, no, it's the whole overtime. We just didn't see an overtime game.
Somebody has to move on. It is the Josh Allen rule. Absolutely.
Mahomes and Kelce, I think it was on NFL primetime with Chris Berman after the game. It was somewhere after the game, and they had a hell of a line. Like, LJ, even as a Chiefs hater, I feel like you can respect a little. They were talking about overtime, and Mahomes or Kelsey like looked at him and said, "Well, they changed the rule because of us, so we went and beat them with their own damn rule." And I was like, "That's pretty, yeah. like that's pretty hard." Like, that had to feel good to bars. Say. If I was Kelsey or Straight Mahomes, bars. I would love that one. Yeah, that was something.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Chiefs are just. I think at the beginning of the year, a wise person once told us, "Just don't overthink it." It's Patrick Mahomes. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. It's Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs. They're crown champions. They're going for a three-peat next year. Whatever.
I gotta tell Football, you,
time is a flat circle.
There were three teams in the NFL that I knew were better than the Chiefs, and they beat them back to back to back. So, like, it's – I think a lot of
the
this
Chiefs
is
faced
poor
numbers two,
and a lot
three,
of it's
four.
Luck, but, like, holy shit, they did what they had to do. You can't argue with the results.
They went through a gauntlet
with the hardest
the
schedule, too.
Bowl, so.
Wah.
Ever.
You can't,
it's the hardest
but you can't
schedule
argue with
ever.
No, it actually was. As far as rest time goes, it was the hardest schedule ever.
Oh, yeah. So.
Yeah, they had
just put
the first time ever that they had.
Oh, but they're so
no matter
tired.
How, y'all can
are you tired?
Hey, Tony Jacob,
this was your
I've
one
known
chance.
LJ for a long
this
time.
This was your one chance, and you couldn't do it. You couldn't.
I've known LJ for a long time, and no matter how, y'all could say straight facts here. Y'all could be totally factual, and he could be wrong. He's just going to look at y'all and go, wham, wham.
So they ended the season with the Patriots, the Raiders, the Bengals without Burrow, and the Chargers. Yeah, that's tough. That's real tough for them to not have to have four bye weeks before their playoffs.
But what about before? And, it's a full season, LJ.
Oh, yeah,
In the Super Bowl, Mahomes led the Chiefs in rushing yards, and his two leading receivers were Mecole Hardman and Justin Watson. And not to get too crazy and heroize him, but he also was getting the ball snapped to his feet all game long. And
thank
in a
you.
Do or die drive, his other receiver ran 10 yards backward to set up second and 13 instead of second
that was
one.
Amazing.
It was just, I was like, they're going to, I felt bad for Mahomes for a minute. I was like, oh my God, what is happening?
Literally celebrated.
It was so funny when they put the camera on him as he's, you know, afterwards he goes, yeah, no. And he's like pointing, no. So he was trying to wave him to get down.
It was so bad. It was, I can't wait for them to cut half that freaking receiver.
Hey,
this was the year to get Thanos, and now Thanos has all five
Thanos
rings or whatever.
All,
I'm not, I don't,
yeah. There you go. Snapping his fingers.
It's a good wide receiver draft, so.
Don't you feel good for Mecole Hardman?
No.
I mean,
no.
Everybody but LJ. So here's a guy that went and tried to get in and was cut basically from the Jets. Maybe he's a lucky guy. And then winds up back with the Chiefs and then catches that touchdown pass. And it was a typical Chiefs play. It wasn't like it was some like wild, boy, what a great play. Typical Chiefs play. Slip the inside slot receiver out into the flat and roll. It was perfect. And anyway, I feel good for Mecole, and you know, good for him. And maybe next year he'll be drafted in a fantasy draft somewhere.
Yeah. I did see that Mecole Hardman had as many receptions on the last play of the Super Bowl as he did in his entire New York Jets career. So that's one for the people out there. If you
well,
didn't.
That's got to make the Jets fans feel good.
And also, shout out to Mecole Hardman for joining Matt Snell as the only players to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl and play for the Jets in the same season.
Yeah, that's a rare stat. That's fair.
Wow.
In the Jets' lone Super Bowl win, they had one rushing touchdown from Matt Snell for
Matt.
41.
Wow. So. What a good stat.
Wow. That is awesome.
So let's go to the halftime show with Mr. Usher Baby. And I thought Usher did a great job pulling out her on the guitar. Then he had Little John come out, Ludacris come out. I was very entertained with the halftime show. The skates were crazy. Alicia Keys coming out was great. I loved it, Tony. What did you think about the halftime show?
So you named everything I liked about it. Until her came out, I thought this is one of the most boring halftime shows I've ever seen, because even when he was dancing, he wasn't he was kind of shuffling, and it wasn't the Usher kind of dancing I was used to. It wasn't, but he was kind of jumping a little bit. And when her came out and played that song, I knew that song. And then when Lil Jon and Ludacris, now I'm jamming, and everybody started jamming. If they would have started with her that part and gone forward and had the skates, that part would have been great. But I don't know what he was doing in those first two, the first couple of songs. It just, he didn't come out and get me. It just, I was really concerned that we were looking at Tom Petty type of halftime show the first couple minutes. It's just going to be these all-time hits, and he's just going to up there and dance. It was not going to be good. But he finished strong. The last, like you nailed it, from her forward, was good.
I was shocked by the skating. I would have busted my ass 100 times over, LJ.
Well, I think they practiced that, actually.
I would assume, but I don't think there's an amount of practice I could do that, have me skate like that on a stage.
I think it was fun-ish. I think it was a fun-ish halftime show. I kind of did like the very beginning of it where they're walking out like a marching band. Like they're like actually like kind of hearkening back to the original. There's not Lady Gaga flying down from the rafters. There's not, you know, it's just like, this is a halftime show. And I thought that was kind of cool, but it was also kind of boring. And then it continued to be kind of boring until the guests started rolling.
Well, so I did really enjoy it. I'm a big Usher fan, but I did have to also, I'm watching at work, and we had a group of people all here that had also had to work, but we were all watching the halftime show together. And most of them were women who like Usher, especially for the scene when he ripped his shirt off, but throughout they love Usher. And they were like, best halftime, you know, just the right after, best halftime show ever. And I was like, now let's be honest. That's probably not, like, if we're really, really being honest, it's probably not cracking like the top 10. I mean, there's been some really good halftime shows. It was good.
It cracks right very above good. Black Eyed Peas. Right above Black Eyed Peas.
It was not a dud. It was not a dud to me, but it was not like one of those, like, oh man, that might have a say for the Mount Rushmore of halftime shows. And Jacob, I see you.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he did what I would do if I was an R&B artist. I'm going to get the slow songs out of the way, and then I'll just get right into the stuff everybody wants to hear. And that's kind of what ended up happening. I can't get out of my head until someone sent it to me that Ludacris and Lil Jon were dressed like the evil team from Dodgeball. I can't get rid of it now. But
Usher with his like Batman six pack and nipples, like.
Yeah, but I enjoyed the halftime show. I agree wholeheartedly. It wasn't a dud, but it wasn't anything crazy. I had a conversation with some people like, why would you agree to do the halftime show? Because you don't get paid, and then all you get is criticism. So what do you actually get out of
promo though? You get a
you
lot
get
of
so promo. Much exposure. Yeah,
I guess that's
nobody
true.
Has he does talked have about Usher since like 2017, and then as soon as Kim K put out that like commercial about him doing the halftime show, people have been listening to Usher since then. So it pays
fair
for
enough.
Himself.
Fair enough. It's the they charts. That's true. That's true. That's true.
I think so. Uncle Tony's doing next year's halftime show.
Oh, can you?
Well, I bring this, up the old hits. This is the
this is my favorite this bourbon. Speaking of,
see, this right here is a slow aged bourbon.
Allow me to retort.
I hope you're ready by halftime with the egg whites.
Oh, that was good. That was funny. This is also the obligatory statement. I don't know if I said that right.
Yeah,
obligatory?
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Okay.
Nailed it.
Yeah. This is the time where we still must mention best halftime show Prince. Ever. Prince. Easy. I don't know. It's hard. I don't like to be the people like, and there's no debating it. So I'll let you debate it. But in my eyes, Prince
I'll
is still
hear anyone
a top.
Out. I will absolutely listen to somebody.
And there's been some good
minutes.
Ones, but Prince doing Purple Rain in the Rain is still unmatched.
With that flag, dude. With that, just, like with the silhouette. God, incredible. Oh, and then just
There's never any. How is it ever going to happen again? Where somebody's singing Purple Rain in the Rain?
I think it won't. I think he's dead.
It's not gonna happen.
Lord. Right? It's not gonna happen. I don't think it will. I think it's the,
I think we're past that.
Is there any
I mean you could have like maybe Miley do Wrecking Ball while they tear down like a stadium or something, but that's the closest you're gonna get.
I didn't see any like the commercials, maybe I wasn't watching as close, so there wasn't a ton. I like the Dunkings.
Dunkings was my favorite,
fun.
Yep.
Jesus spent easily. 14 mil good. On ads, so I think that's crazy.
I was thinking at one point, because the first Jesus commercial was like, I was like, that's a 60-minute spot. And someone went, you know, I work in TV, so I'm at work, and someone's down here watching it went, Jesus got some deep pockets if he just got a 60 second. And that wasn't his only one. He had a couple.
Well, was it Temu or somebody had like six?
Oh my God, that blew my mind because Temu, I kept turning to the group I was with and saying, this is a mobile ad company. Like this is what goes on Candy Crush. I don't understand where they got this money. That's crazy.
They had like five spots.
Well, no. Temu or Tamu, whatever it is. I guess they called it Tamu. I thought everyone's been calling it Temu. But it's like a...
It's like eBay, like isn't it?
Clothing. You can... It's no, like you buy like, yeah, it's clothes like, and it's products it's for cheap, but it's website. Off-brand, knockoff. Yeah, it's... Yeah. it's people are making their clothes in
But I'm just saying, I've only ever seen these ads while I'm playing mobile games. And so I'm correct. Shocked that they have
some TikTok
money.
Or something.
But like, if Jesus got the money, like, I can imagine, you know, like, whatever.
The Temu commercials, you know, there was some controversy about that. There were several congressmen did not want those to go on because it's a Chinese company.
Sure.
Yeah. And they felt like
and that supposedly that company also there's like claims that there's that part of the way they get their money is and they're able to sell such cheap clothes is because they sell your. They track all your data and sell it on the black web. There's a lot of I don't know what's all true and not, but they clearly got some deep
pockets.
We're gonna
throw out
or someone
hard allegedly
and,
because we know how much money they have now.
true.
Hard.
Well, you know what? That's good for business. If Tamu tries to come after the JPP pod, Jerry
bring
Jones
it.
Always told me any publicity is good
absolute
publicity.
Scams.
So we'll boy you up.
Come on, bring it.
All they do
bring
is steal it. Your data and then they sell it to Russia. I mean, it couldn't be worse. It's the worst company ever. And I'm saying this from the fact worst. I've got the data.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take that for data.
Yeah. I thought the T-Mobile commercials were good too. They hung into, you know, the Jason Momoa commercial I thought was funny, but the Suits commercials I thought were funny. If you've been, and now half the country's been downloading Suits and I'm one of them, I'm hooked, but to have the cast and stuff go through that T-Mobile, they're really hitting the hot show. And I thought those were good commercials.
There was a commercial, Mark Wahlberg did a like pray. It was something about, it was a religious.
Is it called homage or it begins with an H.
It was just the way, it was the form of the way that commercial came and he said something very, you know, it's very serious. And the very next scene was a Duolingo commercial where this little duck has another duck pop out of its butt. It's weird. Yep. And it's just this animation, but the way they played one after another, it was just like, wow.
To all the foreign viewers, this is what America spectrum. Is like, actually.
Yeah.
Hitting all spectrums.
But
Dunkin's
was awesome.
Perfect rollout by Dunkin' Donuts. The commercial was good. Yeah. Then the next day they put those goofy looking, they were cool, but like those track suits. They sold out, and then the next day they released the 4-minute long commercial, and so like they were trending for a solid like 4 days. So somewhere, their head of marketing is getting paid, and they're also writing a book for how.
And as somebody that buys a bagel, bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich from Dunkin' on a regular basis, they then gave me a cheaper version of it. So then I was at Dunkin' twice more than I would have been this week. So.
Well, I think you could put Affleck and Damon together, and I'd probably watch whatever it is they did.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, even LJ, even if they have Tom Brady, LJ was watching it. Yeah. So that was
it
was hilarious.
It was good. It was good.
Tom, you can stay.
Well, and kind of, you know, the commercials to me, for the most part, aren't as entertaining as they used to be. And this isn't like an old man, but it's because they get leaked on.
Yeah, I think they're
like
we
they put them out on
the
social media. So like,
yeah.
There was that awesome Paramount one where they throw Hey Arnold because he has a head-shaped football and they're going to try to throw him like with Tua in the snow. That's a hilarious commercial, but I saw it on Twitter like a week or two ago. So it wasn't
that's why I noticed a lot of the prop bets were like which of these commercials comes out first, and it's like, oh, that sucks. Mm-hmm. Are you going to see Aubrey Plaza or Jenna Ortega first? Are you going to see Lionel Messi or David Beckham first? And it's like, oh, I hate that we know that. Like, I would love to be surprised.
They were better in the past because it was the first. Like, we just saw them. We're like, oh, that's so funny. That's hilarious.
Well, I will say, though, this year's commercials, I think, were a better bunch than last year's.
I think I agree.
I thought last year's was not very good bunch of commercials. These were pretty good. I mean, they were good. They're not the best, but they were good. We need Pepsi to get back. We need Pepsi and Coke and Budweiser to get back.
I remember when Doritos was king. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Doritos, they were usually pretty solid. Yeah. Any list not here? I'm sure he has plenty, but was there any Super Bowl bougie problems for anybody? Or do we have a good... I mean, I had to work, so that was kind of a that sucked. But other than that, any
that,
bougie
that
problems?
Suck. That's a bougie problem.
I had a little. Someone brought buffalo chicken dip, and I did what I do, and I ate too much buffalo chicken dip, and I was hurting for a little bit there, but I battled through. Yeah. You know, you play through the pain sometimes. Yeah. Are you injured or are you hurt? And I was just a little hurt, so I played through.
Kevin played through overtime there. I mean, I know he did.
And I didn't need the coach to let the other team get the ball first so I could rest. I was ready. I was up.
You
I
dropped
was watching.
The ball as fast as you could.
Yeah. Can someone explain to me why we can't have the Super Bowl on Saturday? Is it literally because the NFL is for Sundays? Is it literally just to
because
keep that slogan?
Yeah, it's just Super Bowl Sunday. It's just Super Bowl Sunday. It's their thing. Sunday's a better viewing day than Saturday because some people want to go out and do stuff on Saturday.
I would
Sunday,
say yes.
People are at home.
But this is like the one time of year where there's like really no other sport going on. I think hockey is going on, but it's...
Well, because no one wants to compete. The waste management actually had to... Like, no one ever wants to compete with the Super Bowl because why? But the waste management went to a playoff in Phoenix, that golf...
that's true.
And so they were actually going neck and neck with the Super Bowl. And it's like, God, what... I bet CBS is like, damn it. We just lost every viewer because now we're going in... And most of them don't even want to try to challenge the NFL because a lot with sporting goes. I'm not saying what you like, but at least in America, NFL is king as far as viewership and ratings.
I guess that's the bougie problem is I had to go to work the next day. But
they just seem to make it to where, because didn't President's Day this next Monday? They just move it to the right Sunday and you get President's
Day.
That's
the thing. President's Day should be after the Super Bowl.
That's the most American thing I've ever heard.
So what you're saying is we should let in a couple more teams and extend the playoff. Gotcha.
No. No, just move up President's Day. No, move up President's Day.
We're moving the day to honor our leader, or the leader of our country.
Lincoln and Washington's birthday. But like, nah.
But the Super Bowl, LJ.
But it's the Super Bowl. So here, before, I don't have a bougie problem, but the last comment I want to make, and I know... I've spoken with Jerry Jones a few times through the podcast here, so I'm going to do this again because I know Jerry listens. Yeah,
big listener.
Jerry, how's it going? Look, I don't know if you watched the Super Bowl and watched Clark Hunt after the game, but that is how an owner acts. That is how an owner sends credit out to everyone else but himself.
Well, step one is winning the Super Bowl.
Jerry. That's how you need to act. That's your role model right there.
You know what Jerry's doing as he hears that, Tony?
Counting his damn money. That's what he's doing.
I was about to say, he's got his Egg McMuffin and he's pouring just a boatload of salt on it and going, what does this bozo know? LJ knew where I was going.
Doctor said blood pressure would be a problem for years. I'm going to listen to Tony now.
Look what this guy's doing, man. Look what this guy's doing.
I bet that guy, yeah. Tony, speaking of food, I do want to, we need to get an update from Uncle Tony. A couple weeks ago, we had an issue where a restaurant was just failing to serve your wife every time y'all went to go eat. Was it twice?
Yeah,
right?
Twice. Yeah.
Two times in a row and just
two in a row.
Your food would come out. Yep. Wife's food would not.
Yep.
So we were told that you did get in contact with the restaurant. You were going to speak to the manager.
Yeah.
Are you barred from said restaurant or things good?
Be careful
now.
Because I have less time to edit. So if I have to beep a lot, it's going to really annoy me.
All the names will say, I'm going to use, well, you won't believe the name I use anyway, so it's fine. I'll use Philip.
So we know it's actually Philip. Okay.
Philip, the manager of the restaurant, met with me and I took the Just Press Play's advice and made a phone call, and he said, I'll meet with you. And so I went and met with Philip an afternoon, and he was very cordial and very nice. I explained the situation to him. He was very apologetic, said those things shouldn't happen. How can I win back? We need to win back your wife's business. He didn't say my business. He said my wife's business. So
smart,
that was really
man.
Good.
Philip, this ain't his first rodeo.
It ain't his first rodeo. And he said, he gave me his phone number. He texted me his phone number. And he said, Philip, the next time you make a reservation and are ready to come in, text me and let me know, and we'll make sure that she has a good experience.
Absolutely.
And Philip's a smart man. Straight. I bet Philip's...
You'll be fine. She's going to have a great time, which means you'll have a great time.
Absolutely. He said, and he's lucky because he said, we want to make sure you guys are around because, we're going to have a we have several wine dinners that we like to have folks come in for. And he said, the next one coming up is Rombauer, and which is my wife's favorite wine in the world.
Oh, it's like he already knew that. Like he knew that, that like, he was like, I've already done my research, but
Prestige,
yeah, I know
Rule, I may be drinking a little tonight, but
it's gone.
was past tense drinking it.
Yeah. And I said, that's great because that's her favorite wine. Oh my gosh, I will text you the dates when we da 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 da. And I said, don't text me, man. Text in.
Make it right first. Make it right first.
So it was a great, I really appreciate JPP giving me the advice they gave me. I think it's going to work out. If I can convince Cindy to get back there, I think things are going to go well.
But so we have not gone back yet.
Yeah, there's an extra step there now.
That's what, I'm ready for that part. Because boy, just for like the comedic value, like, because it would feel like a Curb Your Enthusiasm, if they somehow forgot her dinner again.
Yeah, we'd all.
She might flip a table. You know, so
I was very adamant with Philip. I really like this place. I want to keep coming back, but I can't keep coming back if she can't keep coming back. So, that would be a much more expensive option for me if she did not, and I did.
And to be clear, Philip, if you import anything from a Scandinavian country, we have power.
Absolute power.
We do. We're
the
already taking
is
on.
Gonna be amazing.
We're already taking on Temu in China, so we're not afraid to take someone on.
Bring it,
so,
Temu, right. Temu.
All right, I think that about does it, Uncle Tony. It looked like you might have been sipping on a nice Bloody Mary. I don't know.
So, in honor, Kevin, you would be correct. So, in honor of this,
Know an Uncle Tony Bloody Mary when I see it. My God.
In honor of this being the last podcast that will be, you know, right there after an NFL game, we'll continue NFL talk, I'm sure, for several weeks. But I wanted to make one last time for a while, Uncle Tony's Bloody Mary. And so I don't think we've ever had it on the podcast. Okay. And so Uncle Tony's Bloody Mary, the 2023 edition, it had a little added to
Tony's
it.
Tony's version.
Tony's version. So the thing about Uncle Tony's Bloody Mary is we start with Zing Zang, but we add six or seven dashes of Lee and Perrins, you know, a one Mississippi pour of olive juice, one Mississippi, two Mississippi pour of pickle juice, some celery salt, five or six dashes of Tabasco, some secrets that I really can't talk about, and then two double shot glasses of Kettle One vodka. This is critical here. It's not a Tito's. I'm telling you, two double shots of Kettle One vodka. It's about 5 ounces. 5 ounces of vodka. And this does make a sidecar. So, you know, I'm not telling you to drink the whole thing. It's a big Bloody Mary. But and then you garnish it with two olives and a dill pickle. In the middle, probably the baby gherkins or whatever you can get.
The gherkin.
Olives on the outside, gherkin in the middle. And then this is the addition that I found to be so exciting is a beef stick. The beef stick makes it, man. I'm telling you.
It's liquored up like a kicker in Indianapolis.
Oh, my gosh. This is so great. You cannot believe how good this beef stick is.
Oh, wow. Well, I can attest that the Bloody Mary, Tony's version, is very good.
Tony's version. So. We're in our Bloody Mary era.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Enjoy, well, that America wraps up a great NFL season. Jacob, congrats, because you just got to run it back from last year. I'm happy for
you.
Happy.
Thank you. Be nice. Thank you.
We'll go back to, before we know it, we'll be talking about how annoyed we are with all our other teams that aren't like the Chiefs. And the world is fine, you know. I believe now, wait, LJ, scratch that because I was going to say something, but never mind. That'll do it for this NFL season. Guys, it was great. We hope Pops is living life up in Boston. I hope he gives us some good bougie problems next time. Getting some clam chowder. And that'll do it, guys. Peace out.
Did you see who the Hall of Fame eligible is? There's some decent names, but like I saw Akeem Tlaib on there, and I thought that was funny that he's a first balloter.
Yeah, I don't think he even gets there. Does he?
Here is the names that I see as the
did Devin Hester get in?
Yeah, he got in. And so the candidates as first timers for this next year are Eli Manning, Luke Kuechly, Marshawn Lynch, Vinatieri, Terrell Suggs, Earl Thomas, Sproles, and Staley are like the big names.
I would say Vinatieri and Manning.
Vinatieri makes a lot of sense. Manning, probably. Suggs, probably.
Suggs, definitely.
You think Suggs, definitely? I think Lynch has a better chance than Suggs, maybe, actually.
Lynch didn't have as long a career.
Yeah, but like a bigger...
His career stats aren't as good.
He's got more face. He's got more publicity.
But Terrell Suggs, though.
Yeah.
More mercy. He changed... One of those guys that changed the defensive.
So Kuechly, is Kuechly somebody we see getting in?
No. It was short, but Kuechly was really
good. I mean, I see like there's this Hall of Fame monitor. I don't know what it means, but the number is huge for Kuechly. It's way bigger than anybody else. It goes Kuechly, really? Suggs, Vinatieri is what this number indicates.
Interesting.
But I think Kuechly probably doesn't. Oh.
Well, my rule is you to even be considered, you have to have four All-Pros, first or second. Or you can have three first-team All-Pros. If you have three first-teams, that counts for the fourth. But if you don't have that, I don't think you can be considered.
I think on that list, Sproles makes it, but not first ballot. I think Sproles is he's that guy.
He changed
running back.
The game.
Yeah. I don't think he makes first round, but I think he definitely makes it.
You might be right about Eli if you really think about it. Did he really have a Hall of Fame career? He had 6 or 7 years. I mean, he was solid. First ballot.
You wouldn't have won him without Spagnuolo. That's
there
a Hall of Fame.
He's got what? He's got two Super Bowls.
Two Super Bowl MVPs. But yeah, both against Brady. Both against the best quarterback playing at the time.
You fight well. Now you can join us.